Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be. Also, the hymn at the beginning said, "You come as you are." And too often, I don't know how it's been in your life, but in my journey, I've wanted to change myself before I could come. But the Lord says, "Come first, and I'll change you." And there is a difference. We need to be willing and active participants. Now, I wrote something down so I didn't forget. I kept thinking about the word breakthrough. And so often at the beginning of a new year, we hear so much said about a New Year's resolution, which I personally never make because I never keep. And there are times where we reflect, don't we? We reflect on the year gone by, or maybe the years gone by, and we reflect on the possibilities of the year to come. And sometimes we can pray this prayer, "Lord, I really want to see a breakthrough in this area of my life. I want to see a breakthrough, Lord, in these circumstances, these situations." And being the poetic person I am, I looked at it like a chick inside an egg. And we know that the inevitable is, hopefully, that the chick will be born. But there's a lot of work to be done inside, isn't there, before that chick comes out. And we see, if we look at the picture of the egg and then the chick being born, we see a lot of pecking going on, a lot of hard work before the breakthrough comes. And so often in my life, I have said, "Lord, you do the work. I want to see the breakthrough." Now, the truth is, he has done the work. He's accomplished everything on the cross. But there is a process that I need to go through sometimes. And there's a price that I need to ask myself, "Andrew, are you willing to pay this price? Are you willing to do the work?" So as I was looking at this picture of breakthrough in the egg, I wanted to say to us as a church, on a Tuesday evening, we have a prayer meeting. Every Tuesday evening, and we have done for the majority of the last 9 years, we've met together as a core group of people that will believe for the breakthrough. The breakthrough in our lives, the breakthrough in corporate church, and also the breakthrough in your life. So if you are seeking God for something different in this season and you want to join us, then please come and be part of that prayer group and let us pray with you and believe that you may be on the inside pecking out, but we'll be on the outside pecking in. You know, and together we can see the breakthrough come quicker because our Redeemer lives, because he's given us everything that we need. And sometimes you just need to be encouraged by brothers and sisters to say, "You can do this." And we want to be those cheerleaders with you. So if that's you this year, then come and be part of what you can be. And that's be that victorious individual. Now then, scripture I've been using over the last weeks, not been ministering on it, but just used it as a backdrop, is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. And that's a great opening, isn't it? Remember this. So if you can't remember, I will remind you. It says this: "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able," it says, "to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. For as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." And it goes on to say that God will supply the seed. And it goes on to say, as we give into what the Lord is doing, he gives us a harvest of righteousness. He doesn't give us a carrot if we sow a carrot, or money if we sow money. He gives us righteousness. When he gives us righteousness, that means this, that he gives you and me a right standing with him. And when we have a right standing with him, then everything else comes. Because scripture encourages us to remember this: the work he started, he'll bring through to completion. And God wants to bless you abundantly. And you are the answer to the question. So for us, when we look at this scripture, for me, what I want us to think about is the generosity of who we are. Not about how much money we give, not about how much time we lay aside for others, but who we are as individuals. So the backdrop is, if you sow, you will reap. So when we talk about smiles, you know, if you're feeling sad, smile at somebody. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But you'll get a smile back. It's about being generous. When you have the opportunity to help someone who's in need, help them. As you sow with a generous heart, you'll reap back generosity. And it actually is good for us. It actually encourages us. It keeps us well. And it's the whole lifestyle. I was talking to my wife Susan this week, and she was relaying a conversation someone had with her, and they said this. A long, long time ago, many years ago, before this person was a Christian lady came round to have tea, and she said, when she came in, she just hit me with the gospel. And all I wanted to do was get her out of my house as quick as possible. And there's nothing wrong with sharing the gospel. But what she said to Susan was, but when I watched you, Susan, you lived it. You lived it. You didn't just share God's word, you shared his heart. And that's what I want to get through this scripture. It's not just about giving something and then walking away. It's about our whole lifestyle. And our heart in this church is that you become who God's called you to be. That's the best that you can be. Nothing broken, nothing missing. That's salvation. It's the fullness. So I want to introduce you today to an individual that had to make some choices. Someone that had to choose to change. And that's my title today. Are you willing to change? And the word is willing, because God wants you not to be under compulsion. He wants you to be willing. So everything we talk about, and I have the privilege of being able to minister today, and it is a privilege. And my challenge to myself and to us as a church is willingness. I want to be a willing participant. Am I willing to change? Are you willing to change? So I want to share some individuals, but one person in particular I want to highlight, that he had to make that decision. Am I willing to do something different? And so I hope you get this story. I'll read through scripture and bring one or two things out, but the key for us today is, are we willing to change? So I want to start off in Acts 7, verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, heard what? Well, this is about Stephen, and this is before he gets stoned. And basically, he had told them all their history, and even said, and you even crucified the Lord. And they gnashed their teeth, if that's the right word. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven opened, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. That doesn't sound like good news, does it? Meanwhile, the witnesses, those that were looking, those that were participating, they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. If you've been in church life long enough, you will have met this man through the pages of God's word, Saul, who later on became that apostle that we read about, Paul. But we're talking about Saul here. Saul was passionate about persecuting the way. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. There's only one way that he could have done that, and that's to be full of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, when we ask that question, are we willing? I'm sure for Stephen in his life, he was asked that question. But he's not the one that I want to introduce to you today. It's somebody else. In Acts 9, verse 1, it says this, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now, get the picture here. What we've got is the rest of the Sanhedrin and the ministers of the law, they was happy that the way, which was what they was called, the early Christians, just left Jerusalem. They were happy, but Saul wasn't. He wasn't content with that. He wanted to get every last member of this sect, every last member of this way. So he went to the council and he said, give me letters that I may pursue them, that I may do something and throw them into prison. It says this, meanwhile, Paul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, now we have said over the last months, Be prepared for the suddenlies. Expect the unexpected, and you won't be caught out by the suddenly. Now, what that means is this: be prepared. But there was a suddenly, and many of us have had suddenlies in our lives, haven't we? And the suddenlies come, and sometimes the suddenlies overpower us. But our counsel to you as a church has been this: be prepared. How do you become prepared? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. But here we have a young man who's persecuting the way. And it says, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He replied, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Are we willing to change is my question today. The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. Paul is another person we're introduced to. But he's not the one that I want you to concentrate on today. Talk about, are we willing to change? We can look at Stephen's life, and when God got hold of him, his life changed, didn't it? Yes, it did, to the point where he was prepared to die for what he believed. But Stephen isn't the man I want you to concentrate on. When we look at Saul, here's a man that was passionate about persecution. If that's the thing, do not get passionate about persecution. But he was passionate because he believed in his warped way he was doing God a favor. Was he willing to change? But he's not the one I want you to look at. This is the one I want you to look at. In Damascus, in verse 10, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In the vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. The reason I bring this man out is because it's so easy to overlook him. Now, he's in the church, so it's talking about me and you. Isn't it easy sometimes to expect someone outside of God's grace to change? God gets hold of them, you automatically, they're going to change because the Spirit of God has come upon them. So you expect Paul to change when God hits him, don't you? But here we have a Christian, a believer, somebody who's a part of the way, someone who understands God's grace. And we've already heard about the filling of the Holy Spirit from Stephen. So I'm sure that the early disciples experienced not just the baptism of the Spirit when they first became a believer, but the filling of the Spirit, which enabled them to move forward in the apostleship that God had called them, in power, signs and wonders following. But here we have Ananias being asked to do something. He's been asked to go and minister to somebody that's been persecuting his friends. That's the challenge for me and you today, as well as anything else. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to believe that our families, our loved ones, and our enemies will change under the power of God's grace? And if we are to believe that, then maybe we're the ones that need to go and lay hands on them. Maybe we're the ones that need to go and speak into their lives. Maybe we're the ones that need to pick up the taxi bill and pay for the food when we take them out. Maybe we're the ones that need to live out the gospel. That's a challenge, I believe, for each and every one of us. And as Christians, the same as Ananias, I'm sure there was things in his life where he had to go, Lord, would you cut this off? Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you give me the grace that I need to go and minister to this man? So he made a decision to be obedient to what God had called him to be and called him to do. And so that's the man I really wanted to highlight to us today as a church. Because we look at Paul's life, and so often we can say, the mighty Apostle Paul, and that is true. But before he was the mighty Apostle Paul, he was the mighty Saul. He went around doing nothing other than persecuting. And then God got hold of him. But there was a willingness in his life to change. But the change only came because Ananias was willing to lay his hands on him. Because if you look through that scripture and you read through it, what you will see this is, when you, Ananias, when you lay your hands on him, he will see. And then it goes on to say, he was filled with the Spirit and he went out and immediately started to preach. So change wouldn't have come in this story, I don't believe, according to the scripture, if Ananias wasn't willing to change himself. If he wasn't willing to say, Lord, I don't understand this and I don't trust this man, but if you're asking me to do it, I'll do it. So that's a challenge, I believe, for one or two of us today. Are we willing to be the answer to the question? In Mark 4:35, these stories will all come to one conclusion, hopefully. It's the challenge for me and you to say, are we willing to change? If we sow generously, we'll reap generously. Expect the unexpected. We won't be caught out by the suddenly. Be prepared. That's what we want to say to you today in church. Be prepared in season and out of season. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. This is Jesus. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. That's the portion I want to highlight today. Get the picture. Jesus is on the boat, in the boat on the lake. And around him are all other boats. A serious storm started to brew. If you can imagine, it got a bit rocky. Has that ever been like that in your life? You know, you're on the sea of life, aren't you? Jesus is in your boat. I belong to you, Lord. You're in me. You've given me a deposit of your Spirit, guaranteeing something better. I know the scripture, God, where it says, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And we become victorious, don't we? When something happens, we go, we are more than conquerors. Then, suddenly, there's a squall. There's a family dispute. A member dies. Something happens that we can't control. And there's a mighty raging wind, a torrent. Even the past comes up to creep upon us and challenge our lives. But what happened in this story was this. Jesus said, be still. And the seas were calmed. But remember this, when Jesus blesses us, when he blesses you, he blesses all those around you as well. Because in your life, when you're on those stormy waters, when you're going through that raging situation, when you're sitting there in your room and crying out, I don't know if I can do this anymore, and you ask for God to come and still your heart, and he does, it affects your family. It affects your loved ones. It affects those in the wider community. That's why the question for us today is, are we willing to change? If we sow generously, we will reap generously. But as the chick inside the egg has to make the choice to peck its way out, so do you and me. We have to say, Lord, I am willing to change. Help me. Calm this storm. I hope you get this message, because it is about being willing, but it's also about me encouraging you, inspiring you to be what God's called you to be. You are victorious. In Luke 17, verse 11, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Get the picture, you know, leprosy was scourge, it even is now. You know, unclean. You had to wear a bell. People need to know where you was. You wasn't allowed to associate with anyone else. And here's Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And 10 lepers come up to him. They stood at a distance because they didn't want to go too close. And they called out to him in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. A lot of translations say pity, but one or two actually says compassion. The word compassion is completely different to pity in the English translation, and even in the Greek translation, it actually means, I feel what you feel. It's like, if Susan says, I have a raging headache, and I have compassion, I'm going, I feel it. What can I do? Not there, take a tablet like I normally says. Just go away, I'm trying to concentrate. That's pity. But compassion is, I want to do something. Compassion, the Bible says, or the translation in the dictionary says, sorry, compassion says it like this. Compassion compels us to do something, to make a change. Compassion compels us. So they're crying out, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. He was putting them back to what the law says. You know, when you're healed, show yourselves to the priest. He'll tell you what to do. And it says they went away cleansed. Now, why do I bring this scripture when I'm talking about change? I bring this scripture because it says that 10 went to the Lord and said, I need help. I need you to do something. And one came back and said, thank you. Thank you. And he, being a Samaritan, being chalk and cheese, the enemy. And so often in our lives, I believe, or it's been true in my life, that, you know, I've called out to the Lord and I said, Father, have compassion on me. Lord, help me. And I've gone back and said, thank you, Lord. But I've been a witness to people who have seen tremendous transformation in their lives. I'm Christian men and women seeing tremendous transformation in their lives, and they're saying, Lord, have compassion on me. And when God pours out his goodness, they're like the other nine. They're nowhere to be seen, and there has to be a willingness to change. Their lives were changed, but they weren't willing to acknowledge who changed their lives. So for you and me, when we ask God for the change and the change comes, I don't like to talk about keys, but that's the easiest way to explain it. There are keys in our lives that actually unlock certain things. And when God does something for me and for you, then when we go back and we say thank you, it opens up another door. It opens up another avenue. Sometimes we're like the children of Israel that continue to walk round and round the mountain. God says, just go forward. So I want to encourage you, if you are that person that's saying, Lord, I am willing to change. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done, and I look forward to what you are about to do, because I want to be an influence to my family and my friends. Then the simplicity of the gospel is this: just believe it. Just believe it. You don't have to do anything. You just need to believe it. You need to believe that God is on your side. You need to believe that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You need to believe that, yes, there are things wrong in your life. Yes, people might look at you and say you're a hypocrite, but do you know what? You are a child of the living God. And when the world says that you are this and you should be that, you go, yes, I know, I need to change. But I am going from glory to glory. Before the butterfly comes, there has to be the caterpillar, doesn't there? This change in our lives. And if we acknowledge that we are frail, made and put into these clay pots, fragile and porous, we can truly be those people that say, Lord, fill us afresh. And we're willing to change. And that's my message today. Are you willing to change? There's a challenge for me and for you. I love this portion of scripture in John 15. It says, verse 1, I am the true vine. There's other counterfeits, but Jesus says, I am. You know, when we read through scripture and they say, well, who sent me? Who sent you? Well, I am sent me. I am. I am before, I am after, and I am in the middle. I am the Alpha, the Omega, and everything else. I am the true vine, the Lord says. And my Father, God, he is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. While the branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So when we look at this scripture, we could see it in a negative, that God is a God that just starts cutting things off. But it's not negative, it's positive. Because when we say, Lord, we're willing to change, there may be areas of our lives that God needs to cut off. But he's cutting them off to prune us so that we become more fruitful. So that's a positive, isn't it? I'm not a very good gardener, although that was my industry for many years. Someone would say to me, what's this plant? I don't know. You just put a soil side down. But I do know this, that if you want it to flower, when it's finished flowering, cut it back and it'll flower again next year. So how do I prune properly? Cut it back, it'll flower next year. But after it's already flowered, don't cut the fruit off. So often what happens in lives, if we're not careful, is we cut the fruit off. God says, no, I want to prune you. There's a season to be pruned. There's a season to say, Lord, I need to cut back on what I'm doing here. Lord, I need to cut back on this. Lord, I want you to prune me because I want to be more fruitful. But the key for me and you is this: willingness. God doesn't want us to be reluctant. He don't want you to listen to me saying, you must do this, you must do that. That's legalism. That's the law. God says, I want you to choose me. Today, the Bible says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. So it's our choice. And I want us to be a fruitful people, a fruitful church, and a fruitful individual. But there may be, just maybe, I know there is in my life, areas that I say, Lord, I'm willing to change. Lord, prune me. I'm cutting this part of my life off. If I'm watching something I shouldn't watch, I'm going to cut it off. If I'm speaking in the way that I shouldn't speak, I'm going to cut it off. But Father God, because of what you've done in my life, I come before you with thanksgiving. It will be a tremendous asset to us as a church if we'll grab hold of this, if we're willing to change. I believe God will do awesome things in our life. There's another scripture, you might think where I'm going with it, but hopefully you'll get the idea. In Luke 15, starting at verse 11, Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. What a great story this one is. Many of us have heard this story. Many of us know this story. A man had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Now, try and get the picture. You have two sons or two daughters or a son and a daughter. They're both going to inherit your estate. And your estate is worth quite a bit. And the younger one comes to you and says, Dad, Mum, I want what's due to me, but I want it now. That's what this young man was saying. So his father divided up his property between the two, and he gave it to the younger one. And it says he went off, and he squandered everything he had until he got to the point where he was hungry. And he started to look around, and he needed a job. So he realized there was an advert in the Lynn News and Advertiser, not what it says in the scriptures. And he went for the job as a pigman, feeding pigs in the pig pen. And he looked at what he was doing, and he longed to eat what the pigs have. And sometimes in our lives, we are willing to stay in the pig pen rather than be willing to change. And this young man was like that at that point. And then scripture says something really, really interesting. It says, he pondered upon what was happening, and he thought to himself, my father's hired hands, they eat better than me. I have sinned against God, and I have sinned against my father. I'm going to go home to be his servant. And it says, so he came to his senses. And that short passage in the Bible is quite powerful, I believe, because he came to his senses. God didn't speak to him and say, if you don't repent, you're going to die. If you don't repent, you're going to suffer. It says he made a decision. This young man looked at his circumstances. He understood his father and he understood God. He understood what he had done was wrong, and he made a decision. It says he came to his senses. And there are times that we, or certainly myself, I've been in the pig pen of life where it stinketh. And I had to make a decision. Lord, I'm coming back to you. So I step out and I come before God. But the story doesn't end there. What happens is the son's journeying home, and for you and me, we're on this journey. And as we make decisions, we may be sidetracked. We may be saying, Lord, my plan is to serve you in this way. And on that journey, we're sidetracked. But the truth is, for this son, he was far off and his father saw him. And his father rejoiced. He said, slaughter the fattened calf. His son came towards him. He said he put his robe on him and he put a ring on his finger. It's symbols of priesthood, symbols of fatherhood, rights. Everything that he could, he lavished on his son. And he said this, he said, my son was dead, but now he's alive. And that all happened because that young man who squandered everything that he had could have been so easily written off in life. You could look at yourself and you could say, I don't deserve God's grace. You could look at someone else who used to go to church and now they're in immorality, whatever that may be these days. And we can make a judgment and go, God can never do anything with them. They are too far away. But maybe you're the one that today God's saying, you go and speak to them. You go and pray for them. You go and be the Ananias and lay hands on them and say, listen, God loves you. Maybe there's someone in your family that have walked away and they're in the pig pen of life. Well, our prayer is, Lord, help them to make a decision to come to their senses. My question is, are we willing to change? Because I believe if we're willing to change, we will be able to walk in the fullness of what that son walked in, even though he messed up. And how many times have you been in church life where you've been told, that's it, you've messed up. You're a stinking, rotten sinner and you're going to hell. That's not the gospel. The gospel is this, though you may stumble and fall, The Lord Jesus comes and picks you up, and he gives you the choice to change. The gospel is this. Nothing is impossible for him, because it's all been accomplished on the cross. The gospel is a gospel of grace. It's not a gospel of law, it's a gospel of grace. Is that a weak gospel? No, it's a strong gospel. Because what that gospel does is this, it gives you the choice to choose. And I've said this before some years ago, God loves you enough, he loves me enough to give me the choice to choose. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back as I just bring this short message to a conclusion. This young man hired himself out to a citizen of the country where he was. He was an alien. He was a foreigner in a foreign land. Sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And to me, that is quite sad, because there are people around me and you who are longing for food. I'm not talking about natural food. I'm talking about spiritual food. We talk about spirituality. There's an enemy out there, the Bible says, that prowls around looking for that in which he may devour. People are looking for food. They're looking for spiritual food. And I think as I tried to highlight this man, Ananias, we could all be Ananias to a Paul, to a Saul. Because when we become the Ananias to a Saul, the Saul becomes Paul. And when we look at the life of Paul, it was transformational, wasn't it? Here was this young man who had the clothes of those that were stoning Stephen at his feet. That he went into the synagogues, dragging people out to persecute them. He was passionate, but he didn't know God. And because Ananias was willing to change, he was willing to say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. He was willing to be obedient. He laid hands on Saul and he became Paul. He became one of the most written about apostles in the New Testament. He became the one who said, whether I live or die, it's all to give God the glory. He became the one that says, don't talk to me about the law. I know the law. I was well schooled, well educated. I know the Torah inside out, back to front, upside down. Religion, I know all about religion. But let me introduce you to a relationship with God. So for us, if we're willing to change, whatever that may be, if we're willing to cut off certain parts and say, Lord, prune me, then maybe this year we can be an Ananias to us all. That person that agitates you more than anyone else, maybe you could start praying for them. That person that gets under your skin, that you think, God, you can never do anything with him or her. Maybe this year as you pray, God will turn him or her into the next Apostle Paul. Just maybe, but the key for me and you is willingness. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to be who God's called you to be? That's a challenging message, but still an encouraging message, because as you step out, as you say, Lord, have compassion on me, and you give him thanks, as the one leper did, God opens up a whole avenue for us. As we realize that what we do will make a difference to those around us. When God calms our lives, when we allow the scabs to become scars, so we can say, look what the Lord has done in my life. It affects those around us. When we as personal individuals come to our senses and say, no, I'm not having this anymore. I'm stepping out and coming back to the Father. It will make a difference in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you, Lord, that your word says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who are walking according to your spirit, not according to your flesh. Father God, we know that when we are filled with your spirit, we are not filled with any other thoughts. So our prayer today is this, Lord. Would you come and fill us afresh? Would you fill me afresh, Lord? Would you enable me, Father God, to let you prune me that I may be fruitful? Father God, I want to cut off certain parts of my life. Lord, I want to give thanks to you when you are generous to me. Lord, I'm making a decision to stand up and to walk towards you. Father God, would you meet me? Would you cleanse me? Would you clothe me? Would you enable me to be the man and the woman that you've called me to be, fearfully and wonderfully made? Father, though the world may see me as I am, you see me as I truly am. changed, challenged, going from glory to glory. So, Father, I thank you for your grace over my life. I thank you, Lord, that you've called me and you've chosen me for such a time as this. I ask you, Lord, to fill me afresh today with your Spirit of truth. Amen. And may I just pray for us as a church while we're in this atmosphere. Maybe you don't understand this God that we're talking about. Maybe you are wondering, what on earth is this man saying? Who is this Jesus? What is this Holy Spirit? I understand what Paul did, but he was transformed. How was he transformed? Well, he was transformed by the power of God. Once he was blind, but when God got hold of him, he could see. And that could be you today. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you if you're in spiritual blindness, where you can't see what the Bible says, that you've been in church a long time maybe, and yet God hasn't opened your eyes to see the truth that you are forgiven, that you are set free. Maybe you've never made that commitment, and the word amen is alien to you, but the word amen means yes, I agree. So if that's you, I want to pray, and then you say amen in your heart. And if you do that, then that's the point you become into his family. You become baptized into the church of the family of God. At the overflow of your heart, I want your mouth to speak. Father God, I pray to you, Lord. I'm coming to my senses, and I want to step out of the pig pen of life and come into your fullness, where I have the robe of righteousness and the ring of adoption. That Father God, I ask you to forgive me for the things that I haven't done that I should have done, for turning my back on you. When I look at creation, you're all around me. Forgive me, Lord. Today I want to be part of your family. Cover me by your blood. Cleanse me, Lord, and fill me. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And today I say amen. Let's take up our tithe and offering, and let's worship the Lord. If you would like us to pray with you for anything, then we are more than willing to stand with you in the gap. And if you are looking for a breakthrough this year, then come and join us on a Tuesday night, 7:30 to 9. Be blessed and be a blessing. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.